Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. We'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We continue today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. And we are here in chapter number 2, and we've been looking at verse number 20, which says, "For ye are our glory and joy." Last time we looked at the whole issue of how the Apostle Paul spoke of these saints and called them his glory. We're going to be picking up here dealing with this issue of him saying about how they are his joy. And when we really look at the members of the body of Christ, we should really consider all the members of the body of Christ with that issue of the joy that the Word of God says that we should have for each other. You know, and we know that all the members of the body of Christ are going to be together for all of eternity in the heavenly places. And that's really part of where this joy actually starts to come from. But we see how Paul talks about this issue of the dealing with the other members of the body. And here in the book of 1 Thessalonians, let's turn over to chapter number 5 for a moment. And we're going to see Paul here in verse number 26 talk about the issue of the greeting of the other members of the body here when he says, "Greet all the brethren with an holy kiss." Now, when the Apostle Paul actually says this idea of greeting the members of the body with a holy kiss, he's talking about, in a cultural sense, the idea of the greeting that we should have for the members of the body of Christ. He's not saying that, you know, to violate someone's personal space and just like walk up and kiss every member of the body. He's saying that we should be having a warm greeting for each other. And the culture in the United States, we would talk about giving someone a warm, hearty handshake and greeting with them, to just kind of be saying hello, to be having this genuine care for the members of the body of Christ. And that's really when we talk about this idea of the joy in demonstrating it, that's what we should actually be seeing. We see how Paul talks about this. If we go over to the book of Galatians, we'll go to Galatians chapter number 6 to see how Paul's going to actually talk about this as he's finishing this epistle to the assembly at Galatia here. And he says in verse number 10, "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." As Paul's describing this, he talks about how we're to be doing good unto all men. So we're to have a natural care for all individuals that we actually come into contact with in our life. But he puts it in that step farther, talking about how it's to be, as it says, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So as we have this care for all individuals that we're dealing with, we're to also be having it in a special way. It says, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So for the members of the body of Christ, we are to have an especial thing of doing good unto them. And an individual becomes a member of the body of Christ the moment they put their trust in the gospel message which was committed to the Apostle Paul, when he says about the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. And when a person puts their trust in that and that alone, that's what gives someone their salvation today. And the moment that that occurs, that's when they become a member of the body of Christ. They become part of that household of faith. They have the issue of being sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise to keep them in the body of Christ. That's the individuals, as Paul's talking about, saying that we're to be doing good unto all men. It's especially unto those who are of the house of God. We're to be demonstrating that care, that love. The individuals who are supposed to be bringing us that joy that he talks about. And we see how Paul, in his ministry, that there is a natural care that he has for those he's ministering with. If we go over into the book of 2 Corinthians, we're going to see how Paul, in his relationship with Titus, is going to be demonstrating how this joy actually was there for him. And we're going to start here in chapter number 2 of 2 Corinthians, and we're going to read verses 12 and 13 to see what it is that Paul says here. And he says, "Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit, because I found not Titus my brother. But taking my leave of them, I went from thence into Macedonia." So as Paul's describing his ministry, going out and dealing with these individuals, you see how Paul talks about the fact that there was no rest in his spirit, that there was no care that he had with the idea of the fact that Titus wasn't there. Titus wasn't there to give him the joy that he was supposed to have by being with the members of the body of Christ. Having that issue that we see if we go over to chapter number 7 here in this same epistle, to where as Paul's describing the fact that he didn't have that joy, talk about, you know, when he's saying that he had no rest in his spirit, now we're going to see the joy actually come about in his life. And we're going to read verses 5 and 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 7. "For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus." So this comfort that he describes in that same manner of where we would talk about as being a joy from being around another member of the body of Christ. And we see how that can be the fact of talking about that comfort. If we just skip down here to verse number 13, you see where it says, "Therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed we for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all." So as this refreshing of the spirit is occurring by being around these individuals, by being around Titus, by being around the saints, you see how Paul can describe it as being a joy that was in his life. And really, when we look at, you know, part of the reason why we come together is to have that ministering going on, to be able to have that fellowship, which is going to lead to the joy that we are supposed to have by being around the members of the body of Christ. And you see how Paul, as he goes about in his ministry, that he makes plans to be able to go out and see these individuals that he's been writing the epistles to. If we go over here into the book of Romans, let's go to Romans chapter number 1. And we're going to see some Paul say something interesting about these individuals here. And we're going to, and here in Romans chapter 1, we're going to read starting from verse 8 and go down through verse number 12. It says, "First I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me." Now, Paul describing this, and you have understanding who, as he's talking about these individuals, when he's saying that he longs to see them, these were individuals he had never, as he's writing this, he had never actually met them. He had never had that type of a relationship with them. They had heard the message that was committed unto the Apostle Paul, the gospel that's given to him, the information related to this dispensation. And he's heard about them by the fact that he says that their faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And he has a desire to be with them, knowing that they have that mutual faith, that he wants to be able to see them, to minister with them, to have that time of fellowship, knowing that it's going to bring about that joy that's supposed to come from being around the members of the body of Christ. And he knows that he's going to have this, even though he's never met them. So he's looking forward to this time that he's going to be able to be with them. We see Paul, as he continues on in this same epistle here, if we go over to chapter number 15, we'll see how Paul's going to talk and continue to talk about these plans that he has to go and see members of the body of Christ here. We're going to read in chapter 15, verse number 24. It says, "Whensoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey, and to be brought on my way thitherward by you, if first I be somewhat filled with your company." So, in the beginning of this epistle, he is laying out and talking about how, you know, that he has this desire to see them. As he's closing this epistle, he's talking about when this is actually going to occur. And he's talking about that he's going to be taking a journey into Spain. So his plan was to take this message into Spain. And as he was going to do this, that he was going to go and see these saints in Rome and minister unto them, knowing that it was going to bring about a joy in his life. You see, Paul, in the plans that he had, if we go over into the book of Acts, let's go to Acts chapter number 15. And we're going to see how, you know, this is after the events that occurred in Jerusalem, where there's a discussion about, you know, what it is that Paul's been doing and contrasting it with what Peter, James, John, and the other members of the little flock were actually doing. And they come up with the plan of how both groups are going to be dividing up their ministry here. We're going to skip down here to verse number 36 of Acts chapter number 15 to see what happens after this occurs. Verse 36 of Acts 15, "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, Let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord, and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. So as this ministry is continuing, you see how Paul had a desire to go back to see those that they had ministered to check on them, to see how they were doing, to be able to have the joy from being around these individuals, and how there's a discussion that happens between him and Barnabas related to whether they should take Mark with them. Now, Paul didn't want to take Mark because of what happened. It says, you know, Mark had departed from them from Pamphylia, you know, that when things had become too rough, that there was the persecution going on, that Mark wanted nothing to do with it. He was not remaining faithful at that moment, and Barnabas wanted to bring him. Paul says no, and there's a contention between those individuals that's so great that we don't see or hear of Barnabas at any point after this occurs. Now, what's interesting, if we compare those two individuals that we've been talking about, how Titus was an individual that Paul had all this joy with, Mark was someone he was, you know, saying he didn't want to have around him. But when we get to the point of the end of Paul's ministry, we see that there's a complete difference between these two individuals. Let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. We're going to the last epistle that Paul writes prior to his death here. And we're going to see how Paul's going to describe what's going on here in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. We're going to start here at verse number 9. It says, "Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." And Paul, as he's describing what's going on, you know, Titus, who he had all this joy with, that he, you know, wanted to be around, and when Titus wasn't there, it was depressing to him, that at the end of Paul's ministry, it talks about how, you know, if you follow up verse 10 and the actual structure of that verse, that Demas forsook Paul, he loved this present world, he went into Thessalonica, Crescens, the same thing, he forsook Paul, loved this present world, Crescens goes to Galatia, and Titus forsakes Paul, loves this present world, departs unto Dalmatia. So Titus, who was this very faithful individual at one point in time, forsook the Apostle Paul, forsook the ministry, forsook the gospel message, leaves that, loving this present world, and is nowhere around the Apostle Paul. Mark, who had abandoned them at one point in time, that Paul didn't think was profitable, at the end of the ministry, Paul sees how profitable he is by the fact that Mark is actually there, that Mark is doing the things, and it was bringing a joy unto Paul. That's why he's saying to take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry, that it's something that he wanted to see him before he died. Now, when we look at this idea and talk about the joy, you know, a joy that we should have for all members of the body of Christ, you know, it's easy sometimes to say those words. It's hard to actually demonstrate that joy all of the time because, you know, the natural things that occur because of the fact that we walk around in these fleshly bodies, that we're not going to have that natural care for all individuals. For some people, it would be very easy for us to have that care and have that joy being around them. Other people, it's going to be very difficult just because of various things that go on. You know, it could be, you know, some things of our upbringing. It could be some things of, you know, how we perceive that the other person is responding or our reaction to things that they do and the feeling that, well, I don't really want to be around, you know, so-and-so because of, and then you can fill in the blank with what it is that individuals are saying. Now, when individuals who are visitors come in, they see, you know, how it is that the members of the body of Christ are reacting to each other. They can see the care that comes up. They can see the joy that comes up. They can see, you know, starting from the way that individuals greet each other, how, you know, not only greeting the visitor that's coming in, but just greeting the other members of the body as they're coming together. You know, and that's something that, you know, can be seen very easily and is going to have an impact on an individual wanting to actually come back. You know, and sometimes that's, you know, the visitors who are coming who might be attending, you know, all the time. Sometimes it's ones who are coming from out of town and, you know, might just be there that one time and are actually seeing what's going on, seeing that possibility of that joy, seeing the way that the members of the body react to each other. And it's something that we need to keep in mind and why Paul can hold up and talk about how these saints here in Thessalonica, they are his joy. They're his joy because he knows that they are fellow members of the body. Now, it's interesting. We read that passage in 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And by the end of Paul's ministry, these saints had fallen away. But at the time that Paul's writing, he's calling them the joy. He has that natural care for them. Now, next week, we're actually going to finally start chapter number 3 and start looking at some of the things that the Apostle Paul is actually going to be speaking about there. Now, as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files of our Sunday services. We have information about how to join our Sunday services live as they're broadcast on Facebook. Information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. Now, this week we'll be continuing our study going through the book of 1 Peter and contrasting that with some of the things that the Apostle Paul talks about in his ministry. And as always, if you have any questions, comments on anything on our website, anything in our broadcast, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. Until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.